They tuck it away and run for it inside the five, and he's in for the Lions touchdown.
Barry Sanders turned around a defensive back about three times. Wow.
The guy is trying to tackle him, but he's got his back to Barry because he can't find him.
Here's a touchdown, Lions. Holy mackerel, what a run by Barry Sanders.
Detroit. There'll be a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff, but the play is not reviewable.
Welcome to another edition of the Roar the Lions UK podcast, episode 267, Don't Back Down, Double Down. My name's Matthew Turner, alongside Ashley Soden, again, once again, from Detroit. Ash, how you doing, man?
Very sunburned. Who would have thought it? British lads come to Michigan and somehow end up as red as a lobster as if we've gone to Spain instead.
Yeah.
But we love it.
I am horribly burnt. It's been beautiful weather in Michigan, although it doesn't look it right now, although it is going to be about 27 degrees Celsius, or I think that's like 80, 82, something like that, today in the afternoon. So I'm going to try and avoid getting burnt again. But anyway, we are going to get straight on with this. Lions at 61 have selected another cornerback, hence the name of the show, Ennis Rakestraw from Missouri. He's a four-year starter, although he had a torn ACL in 2021 and missed four games last year due to a core and groin injury. He had core surgery at the end of the season, which caused him to miss the Senior Bowl, and blamed slow athletic testing on injuries and rehab, including a groin tweak after the injury, unfortunately. That athletic testing I alluded to, he is just a shade over 5'11", 183 pounds, did 13 on the bench, 10-foot broad jump, it's a 4.51 40-yard dash, so a hundredth of a second slower than our first-round pick, had an elite 1.52 10-yard split, however. His shuttle wasn't great, 4.38, and he did not test in the three-cone. That is the poor testing he's talking about, which he said was not so good, considering the injuries, and thanks to Pride of Detroit for the injury history. Ash, what do you think of the pick?
I like it. Like, I know, obviously, we took Arnold in the first, but this was someone that was about a month ago heavily linked with us at 29. So for us to get him in the second round is a steal, per se. Obviously, yeah, had the core injury surgery, which is why the shuttle's so bad. As someone that's done the short shuttle now with flag football, you very much need your flexes going for that. So having core surgery will definitely affect that. But it's a dumb mentality, as he said in his press conference yesterday. He might be a corner, but when he will impact the run like a linebacker, and he will hit like one. So this is another sort of Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell pick. Great against the run. Like, both, if you look at the PFF run grades for rookie corners now in his draft class, the top two are Terron Arnold and Ennis Rakestraw. So it seems we really had a type in this draft.
To go into his numbers, his last full year, as I said, wasn't last year, but was the year before. In 2022, he played 13 games, 35 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, an interception, 12 passes defended, a fumble recovery, and 2 forced fumbles. His PFF grade was 77. This year, he only played 9 games, like I said, missed 4. He also got 35 tackles, though. 1.5 of those were for a loss. 4 passes defended, a forced fumble. His PFF grade actually went up to 80.7. The rest of those, breakdown of the PFF grades: 89 in run defense, 79.7 in tackling, pressure 58.3, and coverage 78.7. So I actually watched him against Georgia, and he looked really good. And out of that, I actually was very high on him coming into the process. I thought he could be a viable pick at 29. Obviously, athletic testing did throw a spanner in that works, but incredibly sticky in coverage. He actually started out in the nickel and then moved out to the boundary. I don't see his fit necessarily being nickel at the second at the NFL level, although I think he could do that if we want him to. Really flipped his hips well, very sticky, good anchor, physical at the press. I think he keeps his feet well in run support. As we've been saying, run defense is not going to be a problem for him. His tackle technique is very good. Don't expect missed tackles to be a problem for him. And he just has a high football IQ. He seems to be able to read what's happening before it actually happens. He's got good long speed on tape. Not necessarily going to keep up with the receivers that are running a 4.29 or something like that. But he's going to keep up with the guys that are running 4.3s, because he actually is reading the game better than they do. So that's it for me on Ennis. Any more comments on that?
No, not really.
All right, we'll move on to the remaining picks for the Lions and targets. So we have 164, 201, 205, and 249. When you're trying to meet needs with those picks, are there any people that stand out to you?
So one that's kind of maybe seen as a fall from yesterday, Fit a need, because I've been banging on about X receiver for ages, and it's not the one you think I'm going to mention. It's Tez Walker out of UNC. This is someone we did get linked with day two for this need. Hasn't been picked as of yet, so he's someone that I'm very much not targeting, but if he's there, take him. Same with Brendan Rice, the receiver at USC that I profiled for our receiver show. If he somehow falls to 164, though I do very much doubt it, he's also someone I'm looking at. And then for the readers of The Athletic, you might recognize this name because I believe he is their Prospect X this year. It is the D-tackle out of Texas A&M Commerce, Levi Drake Rodriguez. He's penetrating free tech, is seen to go, well, projected to sort of be a UDFA right now, but as people know Prospect X, it's on its scene as that, but actually probably will get drafted. Very good free tech at that level. And the reason that we're probably going to be linked with him is because his head coach this year is Dan Campbell's cousin. So we have the inside track on him, which we'll absolutely love.
Yeah, there's a few other names at wide receiver to mention that are still on the board. Bub Means was someone that I have definitely been high on in the process. He may well be there at our next pick. Johnny Wilson, I mean, how far is he going to fall is the question, because it does appear as though, considering he didn't go on day two, that there is at least a little bit of thought in the NFL circles that that sort of body type is going to struggle to translate a wide receiver. We remain to be seen in terms of actually how that translates to the league, but it seems as though the league is lower on him than some people have been. Cornelius Johnson is another one. Obviously, the Michigan fans will know who he is, but I think he's potentially a target as well. There's a few guys on the line that I think we could go for as well. Ant has been a huge fan of Tylan Grable in the process. He's ESPN's third-rated tackle remaining on the board. In terms of guards, Mason McCormick is still there. You've got Trevor Keegan, I'm not a massive fan of. Garrett Greenfield from South Dakota State, I was high on in the process. There's a few people, therefore, on the offensive line, defensive line. There's some bigger names actually still available. I was a fan of Marcus Harris in the process. Fabian Lovett from FSU is still there. Christian Boyd. There are people that we can still be picking on day three that we can feel really, really good about. Let's have a look at the rest of the NFC North and see how they've done. Chicago only had one pick in day two, and they took Kieran Amadeneji from Yale, the tackle 75. Thoughts on him?
If I was a Bears fan, I'd be absolutely jumping right now, because there's your future starting left tackle, I believe. I know they've got Braxton Jones right now in left tackle, and Kieran needs a bit of refinement, a bit of like saucing up. They can sit in for this year, he can be the swing tackle, and then hopefully next year, I believe Braxton Jones' contract's up, just slide him in at left tackle, and Caleb Williams' blindside is protected for the next couple of years with a pretty damn good tackle.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on his upside too. I think that that could be a really good thing for the Bears. So I think they're having a very solid draft. Moving on to Green Bay, they had a very active day three. So at 45, they took the linebacker Edrin Cooper from Texas A&M. At 58, the safety Javon Bullard from Georgia. At 88, the running back Marshawn Lloyd from USC. And at 91, the linebacker Tyron Hopper from Missouri. One of those included a trade. They went down from 41 to 45 and picked up 168 and 190 in the process. The pick they traded away turned into Kool-Aid McKinstry. And as I mentioned, they took Edrin Cooper. What do you think of their haul?
There's some good and there's some bad. So obviously Cooper, while he probably is a round two prospect, there were some people on the board that fit better needs for the backers. So I'm not so high on that pick for them. Bullard's a really damn good pick for them. They need safety, obviously. They lost both their starters in free agency, signed David McKinney to replace Donna Savage at sort of free safety role. Bullard can be that sort of strong safety guy, working it in, damn good safety duo for them now. Marshall and Lloyd, they just seem to be running back you at this point in the NFL. Lost Aaron Jones, bring in Josh Jacobs, bring back Quadzilla. Now they've got Marshall and Lloyd as well as their like RB3 currently. That's a damn good backfield. And Hopper, reach. Reach by about 70 picks at least. Like, but they need linebackers, as I say, like, Quay Walker's not really turning out to be much other than a penalty machine. So you just want to reload in that that area, because you need it in this conference now. With obviously us having Monty and Gibbs and Laporta, Bears now have Bears with Khalil Herbert and Dante Foreman and Cole Kmet. The Vikings with Hawk and Aaron Jones and that. You need linebackers in this division now, so they're having to load up on that because they don't really have any right now.
Yeah, I'm not high on this crop. I mean, it's all low value positions. Maybe it fits needs. Adrian Cooper's fine. I think he's slightly overdrafted. Bullard is a good safety, as you've mentioned, but I hate the Lloyd pick, and actually I was kind of high on it at the time, and then we were talking about it with Austin, who we have met up with, who's a fan of the show, and he was like, it's a waste because of the two running backs you have ahead of him. I mean, really, if you're drafting a running back on day two, you kind of want that guy to be a starter, or at least kind of splitting reps, but it feels like he's going to very much be lower down in the pecking order with the hope that he can start in his second year of his career after Quadzilla moves on. But it seems to be a waste of a year of a rookie contract when there are plenty of running backs going next year, I'm pretty sure, exactly. Too. So, yeah. You know, it seems to be a position you can get every single year. It just seems a bit of like a timing issue for them. Anyway, Minnesota, no picks for them in day two after their shenanigans on day one. Their next pick is at 108. But then they have to wait until two picks in round six and two picks in round seven. So they have very much concentrated their capital right at the top of the draft. Notable picks around the NFL. We had Atlanta at 35 taking the defensive tackle Rook Orohoro from Clemson. The first D tackle of the day, but ahead of many others that were more highly regarded. And talking about D tackles, we had at 38, Tennessee taking T'Vondre Sweat from Texas, and he was rumored to be a day three pick, so we're talking 101 and later, and he was taken at 38, which is a bit more akin with where he was at the start of this process, where he was a fringe first rounder. Cooper DeJean arrested his fall after Philadelphia picked him at pick 40, the DB from Iowa. We then had Kool-Aid coming off the board, as I said. He went to the Saints after that trade with the Green Bay Packers. At 48, we had Jacksonville taking the defensive tackle Mason Smith from LSU. That was over Chris Jenkins, and that's why that's notable, because Chris Jenkins had some first-round love, and Mason Smith was widely regarded as a day three pick. So can you spell reach? Pick 52, Indianapolis arrested the fall of Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas again. He was widely mocked to the first round, including specifically to Kansas City at 32. He manages to go at 52. A bit of local interest with Marshawn Nealon, the defensive end from Western Michigan, going to Dallas at 56. They seem to have a habit of liking guys from the state of Michigan. And Blake Corum, of course, does end up in LA, but the wrong LA. At pick 83, he goes to the Rams. Just any thoughts on some of those picks?
So let's start with the D tackles. Obviously, we're standing in line waiting to get into the draft theatre because it's closed for general admission again. So we're standing waiting there for them to move the barriers and that. And the picks start coming in. And Atlanta take Rook, and it's a bit of a moment because obviously Sweat's still on the board, Johnny Newton's still on the board at that point. There's other D tackles. Like, I can see the fit for them. He would probably be a very good 3-4 D end for them in their scheme. But it's a slight reach. Like, he can really work out, but there is stuff on tape that you're not too happy with. So they really have to work with him on that. And then obviously Tennessee taking Sweat. I know they needed a nose tackle after losing their guys in free. But I think both of their nose tackles I had last year gone in free agency. So they need to replace it. But the DUI is like, can you really? They've done this a couple of years ago with that tackle they took in the first round. Mm-hmm. They overlooked character concerns because of talent, and it blew up in their face. That guy left them within six games for a rap career that had failed by the end of the season. They really need to work on their character evaluations, I think. And then obviously take Mason Smith over Chris Jenkins. I know Mason Smith was a very high prospect. I think he was a five-star guy coming out of high school, went to LSU, showed a lot of promise, but the last year or two where he's had the injuries, and then he had the suspension for the NIL violations and that. And over Chris Jenkins, again, Jacksonville have some issues with that as well, not really evaluating well, so it's not surprising. Philadelphia, goddammit, why are they getting so rich again at like DB? Like, even if he doesn't work at corner, they just whack him at safety and they're going to be set there. Like, damn it, just damn it. And then Saints, Kool-Aid and Lattimore, if he sticks around, is going to be a damn good outside corner duo for them. So That's a good pick as well. Like, this, for the most part, these are like pretty good. It's either an obvious reach or some pretty damn good picks here.
And just looking at the remaining players still on the board, some of these I'm picked because they've fallen, some of them just because they're notable players either that we've mentioned or that, you know, they're just of interest in particular. So we've got the wide receiver Troy Franklin, who's had a remarkable fall from grace, having been mocked a lot in the first before his testing. Cornerback TJ Tamper, I know a lot of people are high on, he's still there. Defensive tackle Brandon Dorlus, wide receiver Devontae Walker, as you've mentioned, Chris Abrams-Drain, as Ant has been very high on in the process. Someone I thought might go in round two, even without the run on quarterbacks, was Spencer Rattler, but he is still here. Johnny Wilson from FSU, Caelan Carson, I know you were particularly high on the process as well. Christian Mahogany and Mason McCormick, both guards, I think could be looked at by the Lions if they're still there with four. But any further comments before we sign off?
Let's hope we don't embarrass ourselves at the 40-yard dash later.
We are going to the draft experience. It's been super, super busy, but it opens at 9 a.m. this morning. So we are looking forward to making an early start. Hopefully the weather brightens up a little bit. We have a fantastic day three. We're then going to be flying home on Monday for Tuesday, and so we'll have a draft recap in full after that. We should be back tomorrow, though, looking at day three in particular. Thank you for listening. Hopefully we see you out there if you're in Detroit. If not, have a fantastic weekend, and let's go Lions One Pride.
Roll Pride.